The following sports presentation is a production of Blazers Broadcasting. Welcome to Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Here in Portland, call toll-free 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. Email courtside@trailblazers.com or text message us courtside@66937.
And welcome in Trailblazers Courtside. It is Monday, so we are on for 2 hours tonight. It's 8 o'clock. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, and the radio voice of the Trailblazers, Brian Wheeler, with you here and ready to take some of your phone calls, your emails, your texts as well. We're going to talk, obviously, what's happened so far with the Trailblazers. We'll talk the Blazer-Laker game. We shouldn't forget too much about Thursday's game, Blazers-Spurs, and then tomorrow night, Portland taking on one of the hotter teams in the Western Conference, and certainly a team that will be challenging them for one of the playoff spots in the West, along with a lot of other teams, and that is Oklahoma City. And it should be quite a race here in the final. What, Portland has 29 left?
Yes. And
29 games left.
If you look at it,
yes,
the team we play tomorrow, the Thunder, Memphis is slowly going where, you know, teams that are not that, you know, they go. Houston doing the same thing. San Antonio, they're not quite sure if they want to go down or up on this rodeo trip. They've played three on it so far. But the Thunder, it's amazing. They've hung in there.
Yeah.
They're winning games. They're on a winning streak right now.
They're winning on the road.
Yeah. Four in a row on the road and one at home.
I looked at their remaining schedule. It's not brutal.
No. And so that's a team. You figure New Orleans without – and they've been holding in there fairly well, not as well as the Blazers. They have, you know.
They got no Chris Paul for the next month.
Yeah, and they only lost one guy. So and the Blazers.
And I still want to see Utah because 19 of their final 31 are on the road, and they have yet to prove that they can win on the road. Now they're building themselves a pretty good buffer with the home wins that they're getting, but still 19 out of the final 31 on the road. So they're going to have to prove that they can win away from home, at least to maintain a spot where they have home court in the first round of the playoffs. That's for sure.
And I hear that Merlin. I can't believe
Merlin. Merlin's going to join us at what 7:30. We have Merlin on the program, and we don't have a green room per se, but he was in there earlier.
What?
He was in there.
Really?
Last check though, he's not in the green room. I think he's. Somebody told me he's made it. Ooh, he's getting gotten the control room or back in the patchboard room.
Boy,
now this is not a place to have Merlin.
No,
I can't believe.
Especially when you have. His hatred for Mike Rice, like it is. Well, no, not that one.
Oh,
my goodness.
Somebody call Bruce.
What kind of security do we have?
There's Bruce. There goes
Get him out of there, Bruce.
Attaboy, Bruce. Putting things
back. I'll tell you what.
Back to normal.
We should, 911, we should call the police.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
But he is, his segment is sponsored.
Oh.
So, he has friends in high places, apparently.
We can't be doing that.
And they're not a lot of...
Coming up on the program, I'll save you from you. Nate McMillan joins us in the very next segment. We're going to talk about all of these things we've talked about. We haven't been on the air, of course, since Brandon announced that he was going to miss the remainder of the games up to the All-Star break, the All-Star game, and then we don't know from there. So we'll find out from Nate McMillan any more about that. We can also find out about Travis Outlaw as we talk about injuries a little bit. 7:05, if you like trade rumors, we got the guy, Sam Smith, the longtime NBA beat writer, Chicago Tribune. Now writes for Bulls.com, and they put a big disclaimer up that says whatever Mr. Smith says does not you know, reflect the views of the Bulls or the NBA. So,
and maybe we
when
should
you see that, you know you got good stuff.
Maybe
coming.
We should do that with Merlin.
That's a good idea.
I should do it with my blog. But anyway, so that's coming up at 7:05, and then Merlin at 7:45, that is. No, 7:30 is Merlin, sorry. 7:45, Blazer trivia.
Yeah, he'll need more time than...
He always gets plenty of time.
Sure.
Oklahoma City comes in here. The Lakers came in here on a second of a back-to-back, and it was a home game for the Lakers, so we thought perhaps it would be a difficult back-to-back. It seemed like one of those situations where, and we said this on the TV broadcast, Wheels, I don't know if you guys said it on the radio, that Portland would have been better off had Kobe played. And it seems like, obviously, Portland fans, the Rose Garden fans, hate the Lakers. But what I took away from that game is they hate Kobe more than they hate the Lakers.
Yeah, and
because it took some of the energy out of the building.
There's no doubt about it that the Blazers, you know, when they said, well, Kobe's not playing. So all of a sudden, you're supposed to beat the Lakers, and you don't need any fire. You don't need energy. When the game started, I said, oh, this is not the same Blazer crowd that, you know, gets into the game. And they once again just looked at the game and waited to see what was happening rather than beat L.A. and beat Kobe and all that stuff.
And it didn't happen right away. I mean, you know, the Blazers had a good start, 29 points in the first quarter, up by 9 in the second quarter, and then slowly but surely the Lakers are chipping away at it. And guys that had not really done much for them offensively. I mean, Derek Fisher's having his worst offensive year in years, and yet he was able to produce some shots that he had not been making for a while. Shannon Brown came off the bench in the second quarter and was a tremendous contributor to them. And then Ron Artest thought he was back in Houston in the playoffs against the Blazers last year and hit those three big three-pointers at the end of the second quarter, and it seemed to take a little life out of the building, a little life out of the Blazers, and then the Lakers only got stronger as the game went on. But you could imagine these guys, everybody else on that team besides Kobe, how often do they hear, well, this team can't win unless Kobe rescues them, and time again, he has done that. But I'm sure that they're a prideful group, and they probably thought, hey, this is a great opportunity for us to prove that we're still a pretty good team even without him, and we can end this long losing streak at the Rose Garden.
When Artest made the 3 3-pointers, lights were out.
Yeah.
That was it right there. It showed the Lakers we can win this game, and it showed the Blazers that, oh, man, they do have some other firepower. But, you know, they let him move wide open.
But the Blazers, as you said, they had their chances. When they had the 39-30 lead, didn't they have three opportunities to widen that lead?
Nicholas,
and three of them were three-pointers.
Nicholas missed a three. Martell missed two threes.
Right.
Wide open.
And you got the feeling then you could have maybe – You hit two of those, or all three of them, and you put doubt in the Lakers' minds, and all of a sudden we can't win here. The place, it was ready to erupt on all three of those shots when they're on the way. Martell's was around and out the one time. I still felt like, even though it was the second quarter, those were as big as Ron Artest's threes were, those misses were in that second quarter.
And in the twisted way he looks at things, I'm sure Phil probably thought, now this is the way the triangle's supposed to run, because didn't have the dominant guy that was taking most of the shots. They balanced out the scoring. They balanced out the shots. Tex Winter, they brought him out of mothballs. He was sitting behind, you know, behind the bench, and basically I'm sure he was saying, now I know this is the way the triangle's supposed
Tex,
to run.
Tex lives in Salem, so he comes up here for games.
So I got him out for the game, and, you know, and so I'm sure, you know, in their way of looking at things, they probably proved a lot to themselves. And Kobe got a night off, and so it worked out well. The losing streak at the Rose Garden ended. But if you had to visualize how it was going to happen, that probably wasn't how you thought it was going to happen.
And it'll be interesting. They may sit him out another game or two.
He may sit for the All-Star game.
And, you know, with that, and Bynum is out. So, We need them to beat San Antonio
and Utah.
I hate to say that. And we were talking about that on the plane the other night. If you're a Blazer fan, you got to be a Laker. Well, I don't say
it's a hard
fan,
thing to do.
You've got to pull for them.
Yeah.
And a lot of these games down the stretch, because the Blazers need them to run away and knock some of these other teams off that Portland is competing with. We'll take the break. When we come back, the head coach of the Trail Blazers, Nate McMillan, joins us here on Trail Blazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power.
It's time for the Coach's Call with Trailblazer head coach Nate McMillan.
And Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, continues here on Trailblazers.com, Comcast Sportsnet, and the Blazers Radio Network. Joined now, as you heard, by the head coach Nate McMillan. Coach, how are you doing tonight? Thanks for the time, as always.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing good. Just a couple of more games here before the All-Star break. Wheels mentioned in the opening segment the old cliche about not getting to the All-Star break too quickly. In other words, finishing off the final two. You guys, I'm sure, realize how big these final two games are before the break.
Well, you've been around in the NBA long enough, you'll know that that is always the case. You don't want to start the break before the break actually starts. So, yeah, that was something we talked about today. And, you know, all games are important, and certainly going into this break, you know, after dropping the game to the Lakers, you know, this game at home, you know, we want to try and get this. And Oklahoma City is playing good basketball, and, you know, we're going to need to play good basketball to get that game tomorrow night.
They're a young team, and I heard on Wheel's show today that you may be tinkering with the starting lineup.
Well, I think we have to always look at that, you know, with the rotation we have to try and make sure that we have a balanced attack with that starting unit as well as, you know, the second unit coming in. So we're looking at that. I haven't made any decisions yet, though.
Coach, as you look ahead to Oklahoma City, it seems like they're maybe a little further along in their development and maybe not too dissimilar to the kind of season that your club had a year ago, and they're starting to gain in some confidence now. And the impressive thing when you take a look at their record, not only is it 8 games over .500 overall, but they're winning some games on the road. And when you're above .500 on the road in the Western Conference, you must be doing some things well.
Yeah, they are playing good basketball. You know, they pretty much was built similar to our team through the draft, and now you're starting to see some of that potential develop and grow. Kevin Durant is, you know, probably having, you know, not just an all-star season, but maybe an MVP season. The numbers that he is putting up, and Westbrook is playing good basketball. You know, they've added, you know, some guys minor to their bench who has now established that that second unit for them. So they have a balanced attack, and you know, they are young, they're scrappy, with a lot of energy, and they're playing good basketball right now.
How difficult was it, the Brandon Roy decision, to have him hang it up till after the All-Star game?
Well, you know, he wasn't close, Mike. I mean, if he was close to coming back, it would have been a difficult decision, but the fact that he had gone through that workout that day, you know, he had been working on his own and basically going through some shooting drills. And, you know, I felt like and Brandon felt that he needed to go through a practice where he was, you know, running and going up against some guys and maybe playing some 3-on-3. We put him in that situation, and sure enough, once he got out there, where, you know, you start to forget about the injury and just try to play, he felt it. And, you know, he felt that, it wasn't ready for him to go. And, you know, after, you know, feeling that and looking at the next week or so, I made that decision, and we supported that decision for him to rest for the rest of the this next few games and the All-Star break. And, you know, we're hoping that, you know, this time will allow him to be ready after the break to go.
Coach, we know Jared took kind of be beating in Utah the other night and had the thigh bruise, and along with the other little things that have been bothering him. How is he doing? He hasn't seemed quite right the last couple of games. Is he in more pain than maybe we're realizing?
Well, you know, I look at our guys, and, you know, they're trying to fight through some injuries and some soreness. He was okay and given the okay to go the other night, and that was the one thing that I told him. You know, I love the fact that, you know, you want to try and be out there, but you got to let me know if that, you know, those injuries are slowing you down. He said he was ready to go, and he didn't look the same, and you know, he's getting treatment. He went through practice today okay and ready to go. So I don't see it being an issue.
Now, this time of year, all the talk, of course, is trades. Have you talked to Kevin Pritchard? And is there anything that, you know, might be brewing with the Blazers?
For me to report tonight, Mike?
I guess I should have put it
in. You want Kevin to call me in the office tomorrow, right?
Yeah, that question could have been phrased a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see how you can answer it, though, Coach, without getting in trouble.
You know, Kevin is doing his part. You know, my focus is on the team and, you know, certainly these next two games and trying – to, you know, just get us mentally and ready to go. And as you guys mentioned at the start of this, you know, not thinking about this break. You know, I know we play, you know, more games than really any team, and I know guys are a little fatigued, but we can't start thinking about this break too soon. You know, we need to make sure that we come in ready to go tomorrow night and be sharp for that game and take care of home. You know, after this, we only have 13 home games remaining. So, you know, Kevin is, you know, this is his time of the year, and you know, he'll let me know if I need to be called to the office to talk about anything.
Now, you've probably tried it a variety of different ways throughout your playing and coaching career in terms of what you do during an All-Star break. I'm guessing sometimes maybe you just hung around the house. Other times maybe you took a trip, and sometimes you've gone to the All-Star game itself. Sometimes you've even been involved in coaching it. What exactly have you decided to do for the days off coming up during the break?
Well, Will, the coaching part I'm looking forward to one day. I haven't quite gotten there yet, so... But what I'm going to do is spend some time with my daughter. She's the senior, and she'll be playing I think a senior day on Thursday. And I have it, the last 2 years I've gone to the All-Star break, All-Star game, and I went to see my son, spend some time with my son. So you know, I'll spend some time with her this break. And you know, that All-Star game, it's a bugger. You don't get any rest there, and I'm kind of happy that Brandon will have the opportunity to rest and not do all the things that he's normally asked to do there.
Coach, we appreciate the time. We're going to let you go, and we'll see you tomorrow night at the Rose Garden, and we appreciate it as always.
Okay, guys.
All right, thanks. Coach Nate McMillan here on Trailblazers Courtside. There were some other questions, you know, that certainly we have on, but you know, without diving too much into everything else, and I was looking up and down the final sheet from the Laker game, and you can talk about consistency for certain players. But with the All-Star game approaching, Wills, that was a good way to end the interview with Coach. But we'll continue on. We want to get some of your thoughts as well. You can send us emails. We're already getting quite a few of those. Courtside@trailblazers.com. You can text the word courtside to 66937. You can also call us on the phone lines, the toll-free number 877-475-4595 or the local line 503-963-4595. We'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Back with more after this.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Well, now is the time of the year to honor the good coach in your life, the inspirational individual, by nominating them to be a Ford Coach of the Year. Four winners will be selected to receive $2,500 towards their organization. Your Northwest Ford stores and the Blazers will also recognize winners with a special assembly. Visit trailblazers.com for details. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler back with you. The email address, courtside@trailblazers.com. We've got a lot of men. Mike Rice, I always kind of put the ones that attack you at the top of the list.
Wow.
This is from Ed. It's kind of long, but I'll get through some of it.
Now, you sure it's not from Merlin?
No.
All right. Well,
unless Merlin's has an address.
That address.
Sometimes
yeah.
he...
Ed says, Ed's a half-season ticket holder, so that also helps move to the front of the list. I have previously communicated my dislike of Coach Rice's man crush on Jared Bayless, but the last several games went beyond all professional limits.
Oh, wow.
What drove me up the wall in the Houston game was his four. Count them, four, he says. References to Roy and noting each time that Bayless was performing the same function with the same skill level. Come on, to mention Bayless in the same breath as Roy is absurd. Let's see. Blah. In the L.A. game, Coach Rice on several occasions excused Bayless's abysmal play because he was playing hurt. Although he still seems to love Blakey, he says in quotes, who has been playing terrible all season, which that's obviously not true.
What do you have to say for yourself?
This would be bad enough, but the reality is that Bayless is not even that good. In all the trade talks, most desired Blazers are Batum and Rudy, followed by Webster and Outlaw. Nary a mention of Bayless. Thanks for listening. All right, answer those charges.
Bayless is one of the guys, every time there's trade talk, Bayless' name is mentioned. Rudy's name is mentioned. Nicholas' name is mentioned. Those three, I think they're all three of them are off limits, and I don't think they'll
who? Which three? Rudy, Nick, Bayless, and Nick.
Nick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they'll.
What
be
about your other man crush?
The other
charges on
four times.
I see the
your witness.
You stop at three.
I see the potential in Bayless. What he can do physically for this ball club, how he can do things other guards that Blazers
Rice's
have can't.
And, it's like it's, one,
question
of,
right
it's
right.
like one of our talking points for the evening. That's what kind of attention we give our good emailers, though. Yeah. Even the ones who come down.
I give him full, full attention if he was a full season ticket holder. But
half. And I hope he's
no,
not.
Thank you for being that.
Well, I haven't. I mean, you know, and we call it like we see it a lot of times on the air. I don't honestly. I don't know. I don't recall a time when I think you've been unfairly positive in Jared's corner, if there is such a thing. But I know you appreciate the way his aggressiveness, the way he attacks, and that's what's been missing a little.
He can do things other guards can't for the Blazers, and he'll even get better at that as he finds out how to use his ability to turn that corner. There's not a lot of guards as strong as him and can do what he can do, so that's why he's a valuable piece, even though Ed. Is it Ed?
I think so.
Probably from Gladstone.
No, I don't know where Ed's from. Don't assume.
Why did you say Gladstone?
I don't know. Now he's going to get all these emails from Gladstone. But yet it's always amazing to me, the NBA, and we talk about this a lot, but how much scouting, what a big role scouting plays in everything. And, you know, the game on the 23rd of December in San Antonio was maybe Exhibit A of this. When the Blazers don't have Roy, Bayless goes for 31. They had no idea what to do with him. They didn't know where Portland was coming from. And it kind of was the same thing in the Laker game on Saturday night. Without Kobe, Portland didn't seem to be sure, and I'm not sure if the Lakers were sure, who'd be taking all the shots, who you concentrate on defensively. Batum comes back, has the great couple of games. Then teams adjust and start taking things that he does away. And we've seen that with Martell Webster on occasion, and Martell obviously searching for consistency. Had the great game against San Antonio, then 1-for-7 against the Lakers. Is that inconsistency on Martell's part, or is that different scouting from different teams taking away what your assets do well?
No, I think that had a lot of that has to do with the Blazers not being able to get Martell in position to score. The guards penetrating and kicking it back out. He is a little inconsistent with his shot, and they do get out on him. But, you know, they've got to find – and he's got to find ways. I was just talking about Bayless getting his own shot. Martell has to work on that also. He doesn't work enough on with dribble drives and getting his own shot.
Wouldn't you say that a lot of these young Blazers, especially in the absence of Brandon, some of them, Martell would be a good example, some of them for the first time in their careers have become a little bit higher on the totem pole in terms of focal points of other team scouting reports. And so I think whereas in the past they might have been able to slide under the radar a little bit, you know, now some teams are starting to figure out what they can do. And that's why, again, when Brandon comes back, hopefully that will make things easier for him, knowing that he has some other weapons. But right now they've kind of taken the importance of what maybe Brandon would be if he were available.
And there's no doubt when they say Brandon makes other players better, it's just not him passing the ball to you in a good position. It's taking all the attention from the scouting reports. You mentioned that, MB, how important they are. When Brandon's out there, everything is towards him. Same with Kobe. That's why the Blazers were all set up to defend Kobe, and all of a sudden now they have to defend the real triangle.
You don't
know
what's going to hit you.
No, and the real triangle looked pretty good out there.
And with all the injuries, it's been amazing this season to talk to, because we know a lot of the NBA scouts from other teams who come in, and talking to them, they keep saying, I keep having to come back up here because you lose key parts, and then we have to scout you all over again because everything we have in the books, none of it applies.
So, Ed, take that.
No.
And
Ed's a good season ticket holder, and we love our season ticket holders. You want to blast Rice, you do it anytime you want. And by the way, speaking of tickets,
yeah,
Tuesday's game will be the 100th consecutive sellout. Mm-hmm. But I think there are some tickets available at this point, which there sometimes are a couple of days before the game. So 503-797-9600, the number to call, the Rose Garden box office. And there's some cool things going on Tuesday, 25% off purchases of $100 or more in the fan shop or online. Chalupas for the entire arena, even if Portland doesn't score 100 points.
You're kidding.
No, that's coming up Tuesday.
He wouldn't lie to you.
I'm not lying. So
I'm not going to eat.
How about
then?
This? Tickets to the Elton John, Billy Joel concert coming up this week at the Rose Garden. That's one of the giveaways.
Yeah.
Yes.
$100 Wells Fargo gift cards. So, well, anyway, there's always cool things happening at the Rose Garden, but those are a couple of the cooler things coming up Tuesday night when the Blazers take on Oklahoma City. One of those teams that maybe wouldn't be a sexy draw by name, but for the fans who are following the league and following what teams are actually doing,
and following
this is
Durant,
a hot team to watch.
You know, leading scorer in the end.
All the things they're doing right now.
30 points
Jeff Green.
A game.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we'll continue when we come back. Take the break, and we'll get to a lot more of your emails because we have a lot of them. Courtside@trailblazers.com is the email address. The phone lines are open as well.
Is there any good ones?
Yeah. You know, I thought the one that went after you was pretty good.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll get the phone numbers when we come back. Take the break back after this.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
And as you heard, Courtside is brought to you by Pacific Power's Energy Trust of Oregon. Energy efficiency tips and incentives at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. All right, back to some emails. These are just kind of some random ones I'm going to get to here. This is from, I don't know, I can't see the name. Can you please put Batum number 88 shirts at Macy's? Yeah, it's a good idea. What do you think about that, Coach Rice?
I can't hear myself. Now I can hear myself.
Do you think with our defensive lapses that Nick Batum should start?
I think
that's from Vinny.
He might.
I think he might tomorrow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. Martell at the two and Nicholas at the three. I think that gives us a lineup that.
And the punch coming off the bench with Bayless, you like?
Yes, and I like Bayless, you know, doing his thing off the bench, getting to the rim.
I think if Kobe had played on Saturday, I think it would have already happened.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, this is from Vinny. He continues, do we even need to make a trade? If it's for a big, we already rebound well as a team. We manhandled the best center in the league, Dwight Howard, as a team. Why can't we just continue as a team? Personally, I always worry about chemistry. Took Dre a half a season to acclimate. And those are good points, and that's probably the big reason why more trades aren't made midseason, don't you think?
I'm not going to steal the thunder of Merlin. He has exactly what the Blazers are going to do trade-wise.
Does he?
I'll wait
that's
for 7:30.
That's scary. I'll make sure the proper people are tuned out at that moment to save Merlin's job.
Well, it's
Merlin, I think a lot of people pay
Merlin
attention
doesn't worry about that. He has a lot of money, and Trudy. You saw Trudy earlier in the show.
We did?
Running around. Oh. Yeah.
She was in the background.
Oh, I missed her.
Yeah, it was actually.
So he had an accomplice, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well.
Corey emails in, how's Greg Oden's rehab coming along? Is he still shooting for an end-of-the-year possible comeback? You know, we haven't talked a lot about that lately, and Greg continues to tell those near him that he'd love for that to happen and that he's aiming for that, but I don't know. We haven't heard a lot about that at this point. Do you find that at this point kind of unrealistic to think about?
I think every Blazer that's...
I'll topspin lob that into your court to save myself the trouble.
Every Blazer that said when he's coming back, they've all come back a little earlier this year.
Yeah.
Starting with Steve Blake and with the pneumonia and Travis Outlaw has come back a little early.
And I'll tell you something else. Rudy came back a little early. I'll tell you something else that'll kind of surprise you. I was talking to Joel Prisbilla on, what is today, Monday, to, I don't know, yeah. Friday maybe.
Thursday.
I don't know. No.
Don't tell me. He said Friday. He's coming back.
I was talking to Joel, and he's moving his leg okay, and he's been, but he said, I am a month and a half ahead of schedule. I'm going to be running by April. And he said, if we were to get to a second round, he said, I'm back.
Wow.
And I said, are you kidding me? And we laughed about it, but he was serious. And it's great to have the guy, whether or not any of this even happens, it's great to have guys with that kind of an attitude. And I guess, long story short, forget the fact that the fact that he's ahead of schedule and that he is looking good in what was really kind of a devastating injury at the time is good news.
Yeah, much worse than Greg Oden's. And Oden is...
Oh, much worse, yeah.
Yeah, just walking with a cane now, and pretty soon...
Well, if you listen to him, he says he's coming back.
Yeah.
And how many times have we seen that attitude means as much as anything in terms of a desire to accomplish something? So, you know, I don't think anybody from the Blazers will discourage Greg from feeling that way. And, you know, maybe his desire, his attitude will match up at some point with the medical folks. And if he can come back, it would be a big boost. I don't think they're counting on it.
Yeah, you know, and if I look at this year's schedule and last year's, Greg Oden is the difference in the beating the Eastern teams. He was overwhelming against Eastern teams, and it's the same. This Oklahoma City team that's coming in tomorrow, they were 8-22 last year against the East. This year, they're 16-6. So that's the difference. They beat up the East. Our guy that beat up the East last year was Greg Oden, and we don't have him, and we've had a little trouble with the East.
Have they been kind of what Portland was last year as far as the team that maybe you don't gun up for, but they sneak into your arena and paste you before you know what's
happening? Absolutely.
Happened?
Absolutely.
Right. Another email from Jim in Gladstone. With the success of the four-year college guys like Brandon, like Pendergraph, like Cunningham, do you think Portland will look for more mature players to draft this time around? And yes, I think that's the case, and I think it has been the case, and that's why they drafted four-year college guys in the past, like Pendergraph and Cunningham, who, by the way, talk about man crush. I think if you have a man crush on a Blazer, it's Dante Cunningham.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's fair to say because he knows how to play the game. My man crush on Bayless is only because of
It's nice to see you embracing the term in this way.
His potential. Cunningham knows how to play, and that's where I give him credit. He really knows how to front the post, play the pick and roll. He just does things the right way. And as a coach, man, I love to see him play.
We get so many emails in other languages, and is it asking too much to get
swearing?
No. I don't mean bad languages. I mean, This one's in Spanish. I can tell it's from the Dominican Republic, but I can't read it. Do they make such a thing that would interpret or change? You know, because I would have so many more
I'd be very careful because I recruited in the Dominican Republic and stayed down there for a week. So
that's a scary
it's
song.
Not
I'm shocked you made it.
It's
back.
Not from Lily or.
All right, and we've got a lot of questions tonight. Before we take the break, we'll take
Lily. There's a story behind that.
There's a story behind a lot of stuff. Well, before we take the break, a lot of emails tonight talking about the Batum into the starting lineup. Is that something that indeed? I mean, Nate addressed it a little bit today. Talked a little bit about it a while ago when he was on our program. Do you think that's going to happen tomorrow?
The door's open for Nate to do this. He's not replacing anybody. Bayless is a little bit beat up.
And will Nick guard Durant? Is that one reason to do it?
Absolutely.
And if they do some switching, Martell guarded him the first meeting, so he would still be out there too. I think initially Nate was saying he wanted to wait until Brandon came back to make any additional changes. Now that he knows Brandon won't be available for a little while, I think he's figuring, well, maybe we shouldn't wait if this is something I'm going to do eventually anyway.
You've got to do what you have to do to win these two games.
Yeah.
And Bayless against Phoenix and Bayless against Oklahoma makes a lot of sense. One defensively, the other getting up and down offensively against Phoenix.
All right, we'll take the break. When we come back, we're going to take some more of your emails, and we're also going to, in a couple of segments here, give away some, well, I shouldn't tell you. Sam Smith coming up at 7:05, longtime NBA writer, and Sam has got some great trade rumors from around the NBA, some of the names you've heard, if you've read about trade rumors, it's been all pretty consistent the last couple of months. The guys you would expect to be talked about in trade rumors are being talked about. Merlin at 7:30 and a little Blazers Horizon Air Trivia at 7:45. Back after this. And Trailblazers courtside continues. Hi, Beck. You plan on hanging out here the rest of the program? You put a headset on
stay
if you want to.
More than welcome.
Rebecca Harlow in the studio on her way out. Not made up for TV, though, she said, so she can't stick around. So we're going to have to
Rebecca,
maybe next time.
She could wake up at 3 in the morning and be ready for TV.
We got that email translated from the Dominican Republic. We're going to have that for you momentarily. What's going on?
I ever tell you about the time in Spanish class that, you're supposed to talk in Spanish and the teacher wasn't there for the day and we goofed around in class and the next day he came back and he asked everybody in Spanish, what were you doing yesterday? However you say that. And he got around to me and I said, no recuerdo. I don't remember. And there are certain words in Spanish that don't translate.
Evidently.
Or certain words in English that don't translate to Spanish. And so his answer was, oh, tienes un mental block. Sí, mental block.
You were able to understand enough. You were being insulted.
It was kind of broken English, kind of thing. And mental block didn't translate to Spanish very well. But hopefully this did.
Well, Jesus, we appreciate you emailing us from the Dominican. We translated this over somehow, but it didn't really work. Because it says, you or I am good in the basketball, but the life did not give me the opportunity of hacer mi sueño.
What?
I don't know.
Whoever translated
to be
that,
a player
flung.
Of the NBA alone.
They flung Spanish.
Something about opportunity. I don't know. Okay. Well, we enjoy it. We enjoy all of the emails. You can email us courtside at trailblazers.com. Oklahoma City comes in tomorrow night. Kevin Durant is on some kind of roll, and the Blazers will battle. 797-9600, the number to call if you want to still get the couple of remaining tickets. It is sellout number 100 as far as on that consecutive list as it continues. And Blazer fans, I know, want to see the team get back on the winning track after falling in another home loss. That's 10 now home losses on the season.
How about this,
after
Durant?
After suffering to 7 in all of last year.
How about Durant, 25 points in 24 consecutive games. First player in NBA history under the age of 22 to piece together 24 straight games of 25 or more. He already has 29 30-point games this season. So you talk about a primetime scorer, this guy. And, you know, at the time that the Blazers had the opportunity to choose between Greg and Kevin Durant.
Have you noticed, has that been coming up on your radio show?
I imagine it'll come up all day tomorrow probably. But
if not,
Kevin Pritchard acknowledged, he said, hey, Kevin Durant might lead the league in scoring one day. He said that, and it's very possible that it could be this season.
Yeah.
But he also said, listen, we're drafting somebody for the next 10 to 15 years. We're looking at championships. We're looking at what's going to give us the best chance to do that. And so, again, what Kevin Durant is doing is not a surprise to the Blazer people. It's not a surprise to the NBA people. You know, anybody who thinks that, oh, they didn't see this coming, that's false. But, again, for what was best for the Blazers at the time and for what will hopefully be best for the Blazers long term is what they did end up doing, and that's great.
The only problem, that was said after Michael Jordan. The Blazers didn't need another scorer.
But
so I'm hoping Greg is healthy and he'll prove.
But they took a poll of other GMs after that draft and after this one. And isn't it like every single one of them
said
would have done? I mean, Jerry Krause has been on record of saying, I don't have to get back into that again, but Krause has been on record
saying
they would have taken Sam Bowie at the time if the Bulls had picked in front of the Blazers. So I don't want to get back into that. But, yes, even the GMs now have said it would have been hands down.
Well, a few of them, you know, the Laker situation. People came in the other day and some of them were saying, well, you know, some people, they knew that there was x-rays of Greg coming out. I mean, everybody wants to sound like an expert now about things, but, you know, all we'd have to do is, you know, is someday – you know, and Kevin's too nice about the other general managers in the league, but if he ever wanted to reveal some of the offers that he got for that number one pick, I think that would, you know, that would show a lot of people what other teams valued that number one pick to be. And they weren't asking him for the number one pick to draft Kevin Durant. They were asking for the number one pick to draft Greg Oden. So anybody now who says differently around the league is an absolute liar if they try to say that they didn't want Greg Oden at the same
time. But I've seen some quotes from some other GMs even now who talk about that and admit, say, I would absolutely would have taken
it. If they're honest about it. Yeah. But the ones that want to take a shot, they act like, I would have done.
And there are a few of those in the Western Conference, Northwest Division.
Amazingly, there are.
You mean liars?
Liars and people that want to take a shot. Amazing.
Right. A lot of people want to take a shot, that's for sure. All right, this is from James, an email in. Would you rather have Brandon wait it out until his injury is fully recovered, or would you rather have him come back and gut it out and play through it? I personally would rather have him completely heal and come back stronger than come back and re-injure it. James says many people are saying he's soft and should play through it. And I haven't seen that. I've been surprised I haven't seen any more, not that I would expect less of people, but that all of the comments I've gotten to this by my email and on the blog and stuff like that, they've all said, sit out until you're fully recovered.
There's a difference between an ankle injury and a
hamstring.
See, an ankle you can play through. You know, they tape it, maybe shoot it up a little, you know, in the old days. But the hammy, you can't. I mean, you just, you know, you pull it, and it gets worse. Ankles don't get worse. You know, you can tape it, and each day it'll get a little better, even playing on it. But so it's a different type of injury.
And who knows, if this were the playoffs and you had 3 days in between games or something, maybe you'd approach it differently. But considering you've got, you know, roughly 30 games left, I mean, there's an opportunity with maybe, you know, one more week of rest to have him fully healed so that he can head down the home stretch and be 100%.
All you have to do is look at Utah and Oklahoma City. Utah won 8 in a row, jumped up to third spot. Oklahoma City jumped ahead of the Blazers. So, you know, when Brandon gets back, there's still plenty of time to go on a streak and get a good seed in the playoffs.
But it doesn't, you know, the schedule does not end the way it ended last year for Portland when they went on that amazing tear late when Portland caught so many teams in the second of a back-to-back. It's not that. Now, it's not as difficult as some, but, yeah, Pittsburgh is pulling away from Robert Morris' coach, ooh, I'm sorry to say, 69-51 with about four and a half left. So, anyway, we'll take the break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one of Trailblazers Courtside. Sam Smith still to come in hour number two. You want more on trade rumors? Smith will give it to you. We'll come back and wrap up this first hour when we come back.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, Trailblazers Courtside, continue.
Where are you going?
He saw the hat in that last shot. How would you like to win a limited edition Trailblazers Courtside hat? Be one of the first five emailers.
Nobody will see that.
Right now, and you win a great hat from Branding, and then we'll select one of those hat winners to win a great fleece jacket, courtesy of Branding. And Mike Rice is styling
right off his head
that
too,
now.
Yeah.
Send your email to courtside@blazers.com. Include your address and your email. When the Blazers need Branding merchandise, they call Branding at 503-663-2858. Branding, your Branding merchandise partner. As
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
These guys, work so hard in putting the proper shots together, and it's just torn down and disrespected. All right, Sam Smith coming up at 7:05. What is the – you might want to put your headset on before you talk to us.
Go away.
What is the biggest thing you want to know from Sam? What's the rumor that – non-Blazer rumor right now that has you really going?
Amari Stoudemire.
All right.
He's the center of all trades, simply because if somebody does something and gets him, everybody may have to react to that. If he goes to a pennant contender, we shall see.
Pennant.
Yes, Pennant, right, because he'll make that team.
That's some 50s talk.
But I hope we can get a closer, because we need a closer.
Yes.
Wills, do you have any trades that are – I mean, the Tracy McGrady trade is one that is being talked about. Caron Butler is one that they're saying he could go to Dallas or Houston. And, of course, David Aldridge, who was just in Portland, has mentioned him to the Blazers.
Yeah, the other one, the Caron Butler, he doesn't do anything. Iguodala.
You're crazy.
Iguodala.
You don't like Caron Butler?
He won't make a change in anybody's team. Any of the contenders.
What if he goes to Houston for Kyle Lowry and change?
He's just like Battier. He's no better than Battier.
He's a far better scorer than Battier. Yeah.
He won't make a difference in their lineup.
He beat us single-handedly in Washington.
Iguodala will.
Iguodala's not a team player.
It doesn't matter. He can get his score. He'd be perfect on Houston. If Houston gets him, look out. If they get Amari, look out.
All right.
Anybody like that?
I just want to know from Sam Smith that hopefully the rumor I heard about Adam Morrison to the Bulls for Kurt Heinrich in some capacity, that doesn't happen.
Who said this?
There was some rumor about Adam Morrison as an expiring contract going to the Bulls for Kurt Heinrich.
And don't forget, a lot of this has to do with expiring contract.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because Amari, $17.7 million.
He has a contract. Butler's manageable. It's like 9.7, 10.5, just two left.
Let me just tell every team in the NBA, when Mitch Kupchak calls, you say, I'm sorry, I'm busy. Not helping the Lakers.
Don't pull
not
a Chris Wallace them. Again from Memphis, who tried to explain his way out of it the other day by saying, I'm glad it's obviously made us a better
team.
A bump. Don't say it, Chris. Don't even try. Back with hour number two at Trailblazers Courtside, including Sam Smith and Merlin after this.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, will continue after this 5-minute news break.